I believe worship is important, and you know, I don't think it's talked about enough in our churches. Would you say? I mean, because we worship every Sunday. Most churches pretty much have a, you know, contemporary band, praise and worship, you know, and all that fun stuff. But no one actually talks about it, right? People just assume that, okay, this is how you worship. You close your eyes, you put your hands up, surrender, right? So we're going to be talking about that. How I got started in it is, well, it's not by default, I want to say, but I grew up from a musical family. My dad, the choir director, he made me. I have an older brother, a younger brother, and a younger sister. He made us all just line up in a row on church. Almost every Sunday, there was a special service, and we would sing songs, old school stuff. He'd get his guitar. He had a 12-stringer. It's like old Soviet stuff, man. It was, you know, it was real legit stuff. And so I used to sing a lot, and how I got started in leading worship is, let's see, my older brother, we didn't have the Sunday services yet. My older brother, we had youth services, and he was a worship leader. And I was just a dumb old drummer in the band. You know, I was a nobody. Drummers are cool. I love drummers. So I was just a drummer, you know. I sang a little bit on the side, but my brother ended up moving to Seattle, and eventually he got married there. He found a nice gal there, so bless him. And this was Saturday nights. We had services, so when he told us he's leaving, we're like, well, what do we do? And Pastor Alex, being the visionary that he is, came up to me and said, Andre, you're going to be leading worship next Saturday. I'm like, yo mama. No, I didn't say that. I wanted to, but I said it now. That's what I felt. That's what I felt, Pastor Alex. But so I was like, you kidding? No, but I did. And boy, I said a lot of stupid things through my times and my years. I've been doing it for about 9 years or so. So this was roughly 9 years ago. And I learned, but I love it. It's my passion. And I just want to share it with you today. Is that okay? Amen. What is worship? We're going to be talking about it today. What do you associate worship with? Just shout it out. You help me out. What image comes in your head, in your mind, when I say worship? Music, okay. What else? Singing, choir, hymnal. Okay, yeah, you know, old school stuff. Golden calf. Golden calf, yeah. How many of you got a 4-foot golden calf at home? Hey, a lot of us got a 42 or 50-inch black LED 1080p calf at home, so you know how it is. You know what I'm talking about, right? No, but seriously, I'm just going to give a general definition of worship. Worship is an outward expression of an inner thing. It's an inner occurrence. Okay, that's just a bland general definition, but I simplified it a little bit. Worship is an expression of love, affection, satisfaction, or admiration in someone or something. Notice I said something. Because do you know we can worship some things? We're not just talking about the good Christian God worship today. We're talking about worship. Everybody worships someone or something. Whether you believe it or not, you worship someone. You know what? I'm going to change it. We all worship someone, hopefully it's God, and we worship some things. Now, there are different forms of worship. Metaphorically speaking, and I'm just going to kind of rebuff what I talked about. Boy, this was a few months ago, last time I did this. So I'm just going to use some of the examples that I used before, but it could be a number of things. It could be a person. It could be a thing. It could be a car. It could be a relationship. You know that? It could be a job. It could be something really good like family. We'll get into that a little later. But we worship what we love. And we love what we worship. Isn't that the truth? We worship what we love. And we love what we worship. Jesus said in Matthew, he says, where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. So worship is a matter of the heart, okay? Now, again, it pertains to, it doesn't have to only be someone, but it could also be something. So it's a matter of the heart. So I want to ask, you know, I just want to ask a lot of questions today, and I don't want you to necessarily answer them. If you can, that'd be fine, but I want you to think. My goal is to challenge your mind and your heart today. What do we worship? What things do we worship? What things do we put on a throne above the most important thing, which is God in our lives and Jesus, which should be? So just think about those things and let it minister to you. here's just metaphorically speaking, let's talk about birthdays. What happens in birthdays? Somebody's birthday, you love them, you tell them I love you, thank you. What do? Thank you. You celebrate. You bring your friends over. You bring your friends over, you have a big old party, you have some fun, some food, some drinks, some games, whatever. You celebrate. You celebrate with friends because you love friends. Okay? So, and they give you presents. So that's, metaphorically speaking, kind of a form of worship. You know, hey, thank you for being alive. Thank you for being my friend. Here's a gift that I bought for you. Friends are good, amen? It's hard to have a party with yourself. So friends are good. They make us feel good. That one special day, they make us feel good. Say, you the man. Happy birthday, my friend. Now, worship doesn't just mean singing and lifting hands and stuff. It could mean giving. Giving. Did you know giving is a form of worship? How many of you know that? Giving is actually a form of worship. Why? Because, well, it's connected to our heart. Thank you. Because money is connected. Oh, boy. This is where it gets dicey. Money is connected to our heart, guys. And remember, again, to the verse, where your treasure is, let's say, just forget treasure. Where your money is, there your heart will also be. Because you put your money into the things that you love. You're not going to put your money into things you don't love. It's investment. You make an investment. You're not going to invest into something that's stupid that you don't care about. You're going to invest something that is interesting to you, that you want to get something back out of. Okay? Worship could be being an usher. That's worship. Because worship is serving, right? Serving, investing in things you love, serve things you love. You know, I love my wife. I serve her any way I can and any way I have to. And sometimes, okay, a lot of times when I don't want to. But I do. And she loves me back. Amen? Wives are a blessing. And all the guys said? Oh, wow. And all the guys said, man. Evangelism is a form of worship. Isn't that a form of worship? Well, because you love God and you're so passionate that you don't want to see that person go to hell. And you don't want to look at their broken life. So you want to witness to them and give them hope and lead them to Jesus. That's a form of worship. Cheering, clapping, yelling, face paint, all that fun stuff. That's a form of worship. Yesterday, the bomb. Man, I had a good old redneck time with some of my friends. We went to the monster trucks in town. Yeah, there was monster trucks in the arena. Oh, I forgot. I'm sorry. That's true. No, we were having a... You're not a redneck if you haven't been to monster trucks, man. I'm telling you. The bomb. Awesome stuff. But anyways, there were some people having their little worship services. They were decked out. They had the face paint. They had the gear. They were wearing suits and helmets, and they weren't even driving. I'm like, whoa, you're into this stuff, huh? Okay. Yeah, it's kind of freaky, but you see what I'm saying? They like that stuff. They live for that stuff. That stuff gets them going, okay? So here's the thing, though. This is a problem. Idolatry is when we worship the creation and not the creator, right? That's what idolatry is. If we worship, if we invest wholeheartedly, if we put our time and all our money and if we give priority the things that God created and not the creator, which is God, because God created everyone and everything himself, that's when we get into things called idolatry. And now, you know what? When you think of idolatry, don't think of when we just mentioned the golden calf. Idolatry doesn't have to be a golden calf. Idolatry could be anything and everything. It's what we worship. Okay? That's what idolatry is. It's just worshiping the thing that God made and not God himself, the creator, right? And every one of us got some of those things in our life. We submit to them. We give them time. We give them our focus, right? And time is such a killer. You know how the devil mess you up? He'll give you nothing to do. He'll make you think, oh, there's nothing to do. Well, I'm just going to go and do something stupid now because there's nothing to do. That's when you sin, when there's nothing to do. Hey, it is. That's how it is, right? It is. Some of you that sinned before know what I'm talking about. Everyone else, you're holy, so just receive it. But take something good and simple, like food. Food is good. I love food. When you begin to worship food and give food priority over God and the things in your life, it's called gluttony. Take drinks. I love drinks. Snapple peach tea, my favorite. If you want me to get me to do something, buy me a Snapple peach tea. Iced tea. Snapple iced tea. Peach flavored. I love it. But too much drinks, we can get into alcoholism. Right? Now, drinks are good. There's nothing wrong with, you know, drink. But too much of it becomes alcoholism. Family could be an idol. Oh, my gosh. I did not just say that. Yes, I did. Do you know your family could be an idol? How? Oh, I'm all about my family, man. You know, church, churches, it's cool. We can have church at home, man. You know, we can read the Bible at home and stuff. Hey, I'm all about my family, too. But my family's here today. And I make it a point for my family to be here every Sunday because this is where we get built up. This is where we get edified. Okay? So we can't use that as an excuse. Some people, anything, you just ask them anything and they say, oh, I just got to be with my family. I can't do that, man. You know, I can't. My family needs me. We can use some good as an excuse, something pure and awesome, family, which is holy. That could be an idol too. It could be family, friends. It could be money. We just talked about drinks, but keep that in mind. Guys, worship is a huge deal to God. It's a very big deal to God. You know how I know? The first two commandments talk about worship. Dan, can you get Exodus on there? Exodus 20, 3 through 6. And in one of them it says, there you go, you shall have no other gods before me. So the very first commandment in the Bible, the Word of God, all that is holy and living, he says, you should have no other gods before me. That's how big it is. Why do you think God put that number one? He doesn't want us distracted, amen? He's a jealous God. He created us. He wants to have a relationship with us. You see, guys, think of worship as in a relationship. Don't just think it's singing or doing some clapping and yelling and fun stuff like that. God wants to have a relationship with you. If you do not have a relationship with him today, he wants to start one right now, today, here. And I believe he will. Amen. I believe he will. I believe when you leave here, he will. But it's a big deal. It's the very first commandment. What consumes our thoughts, our times, and imagination, that is what we serve. Or worship. So why should we worship? What's the point of worship? Because technically speaking, God is all infinite in himself. He doesn't need technically worship. He's got billions and I think trillions of angels and saints in heaven right now that are bowing down and worshiping at his throne. That's what the Bible says. Read Revelation if you don't believe me. A multitude, it says seas of people that you can't even see an end. He's got people worshiping him. So why does God need us to worship him? What's all that about? What's the point? You know what? There's many reasons, and you can find many reasons for this, but you know what? I'm just going to give you one real simple reason. Because he deserves our worship. Because he alone deserves our worship. Not anyone else, not anything else. God alone deserves our worship, our Creator. Deserves it. We don't. Our friends don't. God alone does because he created all those things in his good pleasure so they could be good to us. Ephesians 2, what does it say? Here's a big reason to praise God. Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 9. Thank you. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So you can't even boast. This is one huge big reason to worship. Because he saved us by grace. Through faith he saved us. So that's one big reason to just shout and praise God. I mean, that's the biggest, most dear, important thing in my life. I know that when I die, I know where I'm going. I'm going to be with God. Guys, everyone has that deep inside desire to worship. I even think atheists do. Atheists, they're looking for something. Notice, they're always scheming. They're always finding reasons to not believe. They're always finding reasons to, theories and stuff like that. I think they worship. I think their drive is, their passion is to figure out why not instead of why. Why not God? Why something else? I think they worship that purpose. That's their purpose in life. They worship that to prove why not. When all along God is around and he's the answer. You know, it's easy to tell somebody's relationship with God. Just look how they worship. Yeah, I said it. It's easy to tell somebody's relationship with God. Just look how they worship. I can tell real easy about how passionate and close somebody is to God. I just go to worship service and I look at them. They're engaged. They're pouring themselves out to God. I know they love God. I know they're serious about the things of God. Amen? And, well, you know the other side of that. But that's true, guys. That's true. Just think about it. I'm not standing, you know, I'm not trying to promote us looking around and stuff. Ooh, let's see who's worshiping today. Let's see who's not. I don't even do that myself, and I'm on stage. But it's easy to tell when somebody's passionate about God. Just look how they worship. Guys, see, it all comes down to relationship. God wants to have a relationship with us. He wants us to give him praise and thanks because ultimately he's God. He created us. And if we love him, we confess that Jesus is the Son and he died for us and rose again, we will be saved with him. That's what it's about. He wants us to thank him for the things that he's done and given in our life. I have so much things to be thankful for. Here's a thought that I had. I was thinking, I have a son. He's our first. He's going to be 8 months Saturday. What if I grew up with him? What if Yana and I raised him, gave him all these good things, gave him clothes on his back and food and meals and toys and bought him a car and gave him money for spending on fun stuff whenever they get older? What if I never had a relationship with him? What if he never said thank you, Dad, or thanks, Mom? What if he never celebrated birthdays? How sick would that make me as a father? That just blew me away when I was thinking about it. I just got teared up. Because I want to know him. I want to be with my son. I want him to be in my life. And that's what I believe God is pouring out today. He wants to know you. He wants you to be in his life. And he wants us to be with him and know him and thank him when we need to thank him and cry to him when we need to cry to him. He wants that relationship with us. Deep down, everybody wants that. It's just, who are you serving? Who are you worshiping? Who are you putting your time and energy into? How should we praise and worship God? That's just a question, just a quick general question. How should we do it? Well, Deuteronomy 6:5 gives us the blueprint. Pretty simple and basic. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. That last one, strength. Guys, I'm just going to break it to you. It's okay to be passionate when we praise God and we worship. Before we get into the word Sundays, those little two songs, three songs, whatever we do, it's okay to be passionate. It's okay. What are you worried about? We go to a karaoke bar and we can be the biggest fools sometimes, right? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Yeah, you see me. I've seen you. You see me and I've seen you. But when it comes to church, why do we lock up? When it's for something good, which is God. Why? Why do we do that, huh? What do we have to be ashamed of? What are we afraid of? Just as faith without works is dead, true worship without actions, I believe, is not even true. It's false. Do you get that? Just like faith without works is dead, true faith without works is dead, true worship without action is false. How are you supposed to serve someone if you can't even get out of your chair? How are you supposed to be an usher if you just sit there? How are you supposed to love your wife if you don't do anything to her, or with her, spend any time? No, buy any flowers, presents and all that fun stuff. It takes action. You got to get up and move. So I just want to really encourage and promoting us to get up and move. When we praise God, let's praise God 100%. Even better than we do in those karaoke bars. Amen? Amen? So we don't want to receive that. No, we don't want to receive that. No, but I have some real good news coming up here at the end. I won't be too much longer. I don't even have that much time. So, let's see. Salvation, remember? The Word of God says, work out your salvation. So you don't just give your life to Jesus one day and say, I'm saved. You have to work it out. You got to cast away some of the things that you used to do that were not for the glory of God, and you got to move to things that are for the glory of God. You got to put some things back. And we all have those things. Guys, we do. Every single one of us has those things where we need to put away. So it's an act. Salvation is a lifelong thing, I think. It happens instantly. Yeah, by faith, because we're saved by grace through faith, right? By faith we're saved, but we have to still work it out. So that's what worship is. Okay, we got to move. We got to get it out. We got to passionately serve God and praise God and express our love towards Him, because worship is an expression. I mean, man, I've been to some football games and stuff, and the fans up there, they're crazy. They're going to kill you just because you don't like the Vikings, man. I'm serious. It's the real deal. Ask someone, you ever been to a football game, anybody? Yeah, some of you been. It's pretty passionate up there. They got their own worship services every Sunday at 12 and 3 and at night sometimes too. And there's nothing wrong with football. I love football. Trust me, I love football. It's great. But I don't want it to take priority in my life. That's when it becomes a problem. Here's a quick saying I just want to bust out for you. If you can't worship here on earth, you're going to look really awkward in heaven. Isn't that the truth? If you can't worship here on earth, if you can't worship on church on Sundays, you're going to be very awkward in heaven. Standing all alone in your little corner there. You know, I mean, just imagine the multitudes of people just giving their praise and adoration to God. And just because you have your reasons of why not, you're just standing there. That's just the saddest picture in my mind. That's the saddest. What's the reason that we can't worship? Now, there's a million of them, but we don't have much time, so I want to get to two big ones that I think are some of the main ones. I think one of the reasons is because people are just ashamed. Well, why are you ashamed, though? Are you really living for God, or do you feel shame? Because sometimes the devil will condemn you just because the devil is a liar and a thief. He wants to put lies into your mind. You know, when you try to worship God, when you try to praise God, the devil says, stop doing that. What are you doing? You don't live for Him. I know what you did yesterday. Or I know what you did last week. I know what you did last summer. But if you're truly living for God, you got nothing to be ashamed of. Amen. Now, everybody sins. I'm not saying that. I sin too. Hello. Pastor Alex sins. Everybody does. But when we live for God and we give everything, our life purpose is to serve Him and live for Him, then it's okay. Don't let the devil condemn you. And check this out. This is pretty mean stuff right here. Luke 9:26. If anyone is ashamed, this is Jesus talking. If anyone is ashamed of me and my message, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when He returns in His glory and in the glory of the Father. Oh man, imagine that. Biggest shutdown of eternity. If you're ashamed of Him here on earth, you do not want Him to be ashamed of you when the time comes. That's just a sad picture to me. Guys, worship is supposed to be humbling. It ain't worship if it isn't. You're supposed to get jiggy with it sometimes and get humbled, okay? It's okay. No one's going to laugh at you. No one's going to look at you for the love. We got lights turned down in this place. We have all the necessary things to help us just be free in expressing our praise and worship to God. There really is no reason. There just isn't. And this is what we just kind of talked about. The guilt of sin, I think, really screws us up. And that's because the devil is a deceiver. He's an accuser, actually. That's one of the names for him. He likes to accuse us about stuff we might have done or stuff we might have said or just some stupid stuff that maybe happened to us or that we did many years ago, and it keeps coming up in our heart. I believe that God wants to heal us from those things. I believe there's some things deep down inside that just screw us up for years, and they've been. I believe God wants us to deliver us from those things. Do you believe that? Because it's hard to praise God when you're condemned, right? When was the last time you're jumping out and shouting with joy when you feel condemnation in your heart? And before we worship, guys, we need to repent. It's as easy as that. You know, God, I'm sorry. You know, whatever it is that I did, that I said, and you know what it is, because the Holy Spirit will bring it into your heart. We got to ask for forgiveness before we do. And God gives us a clean slate, and He will. And we need to repent from those things. We got to turn away. It means and never come back to them. And God is faithful to forgive us. Check this out. This is a real cool verse, and we're going to be finishing up pretty soon here. It's a promise that God has for us, and this should really edify you. This should build you up. It's in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Let's just tear this up real quick, and we'll be finishing up here. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings that we do, and yet he did not sin. So God has faced every single temptation according to the word, every single one, but he didn't sin. You should be happy about that because he knows the plan out. He has deliverance for you. He can give you grace and mercy to not do those things that you used to do. Because he's faced them. He knows them. He knows how to get out of them because he didn't even go through any sin himself. That's an awesome promise if you ask me. And check this. And this is a real cool verse. One of my favorites. Verse 16. So let us come boldly. How should we come?
Boldly.
Say boldly. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most.
Hallelujah.
You got to praise God about that. That's just the word right there. Listen. What's the difference between mercy and grace? We talked about this before. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. And mercy is not getting what you deserve. The word of God. Verse 16, guys. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. So how does God want us to come on Sundays? He wants us to come boldly. If we truly confess our sins and repent and turn away from them, God is faithful to forgive us. So we need to come boldly through the throne of grace. We need to worship him with boldness because he gives us the right and the authority to. He forgives your sins. He forgave your sins for the love. They're on the cross.
Amen.
He died for each one of us. And he wants to have a relationship with us. Two things. There we will receive mercy and we will find grace. How many of you need a little bit of grace in your life?
Amen.
I know I do. How many of you experienced God's mercy in your life before?
Amen.
Maybe you don't even know God. You're not even saved. But that time where something should have happened to you that didn't happen to you, and you think, what the heck was that? That was God.
Amen.
That was God. You know, and you don't even believe in God. I'm here to tell you that was God. Because he loves you. He wants to be with you. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants you to thank him when you need to thank him. And he's just pouring blessings on us every day, every week. I'm blessed. I know I'm a young guy, but man, I already seen God's hand in my life so much. God has blessed me. I'm not perfect, but he's blessed me and my family. And I continue to live for him because it's the only way I know. It's the very best thing that happened to me in my life. And if he can do it for me, I know he can do it for you. He's done it for me. I know he can do it for you. See, guys, that's what it comes down to. It comes down to a relationship. That's what worship is. It's a matter of the heart. Saying, God, here's my heart. I give it to you. Do whatever you want with it.